The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming. You are so welcome. Thanks for listening to the show. Once a week, I come into this studio and I do the radio show that I usually just sit in a studio. Today, this has the camera and you can watch me move my arms as I talk. And my mouth moves too. Check that out. Other than that, there's no point to this whatsoever. I do not do pantomime. I'm not stuck in a box. I'm not going to pull on a rope or make believe I'm going upstairs. When I go upstairs, it ain't make believe, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what I do. I've been doing this for 30 years. And I'm talking about straight. I mean, I don't stop. What do you do for a living? Yeah, that's nice. All right, let's go. What I do on this show is I talk about things that most people don't talk about, in a sense that things bother us. Boy, isn't this a stressful time in life? Aren't we all stressed out? I'm when I talk to people and I get into like deep conversations, they actually admit to me that they're stressed and they have like anxiety attacks and things like that. And nobody ever talked about that before, but they're having so many of them, they have to just let it out. It's crazy, man. Between the holidays and the upcoming presidential election, which could mean the end of society as we know it, I mean, it's very stressful. All of this is stressful. You know, it's really frustrating. And tell me if you feel the same way. You can't. This is a one-way thing. But do you feel the same? I watch television a lot because it takes me away from real life. And then you turn on the TV and there's real life. I mean, come on, enough. So I'm watching TV and all the shows are like cooking shows. And the commercials are for these burgers with the grease dripping off of the bacon between the buns and some god-awful thing from Chick-fil-A that looks like there's a outbreak of worms on top of a patty of chicken. I don't know what that thing is. Chef shows like Louisiana cooking, you know, add like 72 pounds of salt and get your crawdaddy fish out, and I can't eat that stuff. And you shouldn't eat that stuff. Here's the difference between young people and old people. Young people eat anything they want, any time they want, because they don't go to the doctor regularly or have blood tests to find out that they really have some conditions that they're not even aware of. But it doesn't matter because they're so young, their bodies can handle all that degradation and then all the misuse of their body. Then you hit 50 years old and all of a sudden, oh, I didn't do anything to my shoulder, but it hurts. What is that? Uh-oh. Then you go to the doctor for the first time, you know, like in 20 years and, you know, you're not in good shape. You better... And then they start prescribing pills to you for all different kinds of conditions. It doesn't matter what it is. The older you are, the more pills you take. I've told you before on this show, it doesn't matter how old you are. You don't say your age. You know, I'm 23, I'm 59. You don't need to say that. You ask to find out somebody's age. You simply say to them, how many pills do you take on a daily basis? And if it's more than two, you're well over 50. When you get up to the 4 to 6 range, you're in your 60s and 70s. It's a barometer of age is what it is, because it's not that you're actually getting these conditions. You've probably had them all the time. They've just gotten worse because you didn't do anything about them. And that has to do with the way that Americans eat. We should be embarrassed. Not me, you. Cakes and pies and sugars and sodas and artificial sweeteners made in a chemical lab, the same place that they made COVID. They're making artificial sweeteners in every single drink. Everything is dangerous for you in large, even the good things in large quantities aren't good for you. And television is smothered with all these horrible food ideas that are so rich in fat and sugars and salt. You can't go into a restaurant with prepared, you know, there's salt in everything. There's salt in the salt. It's crazy, man. They cook in fat. Fat. I thought I wasn't supposed to have fat. This is all cooked in fat. That's why it tastes so good. And then you buy things in the frozen food section, and there's preservatives in them. How do you think they'd stay in the box? If they didn't have preservatives, the food would run away. They're preserved in there with all kinds of chemicals and salts and formaldehyde. I don't know what the hell they do to preserve the stuff. Chemical names I've never heard of. Monodoxoloxo, monodextrose, dichlorified flinidin, meitenstein flatenkeiten, all these kinds of chemicals. I don't know what they are. I don't even think they are real chemicals. They're just stuff they've thrown in there with chemical names. They're not on the periodic chart. And yet we eat all of this stuff because it tastes good. It's like our lives. If it looks good, we consume it, not thinking about the ramifications of it, both nutrition-wise and politically. It's time, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before you deliberate, it's time to start thinking about the consequences of things. Start thinking about the consequences of things. Because we all get older every day, every minute, and we're going to pay the price, both mentally and physically. Look how I'm pointing to things in order to be prolific on television. Boy, Ron, did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Yeah, both sides are wrong, to be honest with you. Yeah, I got up on the wrong side. Got a little pain in my shoulder. So what? So do you. How well do you sleep overnight? Not well. The older you get, the more you pee. I don't care who you are. It's just the way it is. That's what happens. You can't hold it anymore. it's like my attitude. I can't hold it in anymore. Sleep well, my butt, I'll say. Do you sleep well? No. When I was a child, I slept well. I would go to bed and I'd stay in bed. And when it was time to get up, I wouldn't get out of bed. I just stayed in bed, fell back asleep. I slept really well as a child. Man, did I have sleeping down to a science when I was a kid. I wanted to go to bed and I never wanted to leave the bed. I was like a senior citizen with a bad hip. I did not want to move at all. Yeah, I wanted to stay up late, but I couldn't. So I went to bed at a reasonable time because my parents were in charge. But then I never got out of bed. They said, Ron, it's time to get up. I can't do it. It's too early. I don't want to get up. I slept really well. You know what the term? I slept like a baby. Well, that was a long time ago. I slept like a baby is a viable phrase. I slept like a 50-year-old stressed out idiot is not applicable. The older you get, the less you sleep. There's more on your mind. You have to deal with life when you're a child. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, but your parents are taking care of everything. You don't even know what an invoice is. You don't know how to add yet. They take care of everything. They pay the bills. You got shelter. You got food. You got a schedule, you got sports, let's take them to soccer, all that kind of stuff. All you do is got to like flex your finger and say, next, please. Take me to the next place, please. That's when you were a kid. Sure, life was easy. Sure, you could sleep. Sure, you had things to look forward to. Then you become an adult. Uh-oh. The realization kicks in. Now, life is a beautiful, wonderful thing. But it's different when you get a little bit older. Things start to happen. There are consequences to things. But the one consequence that we never really seem to get until we're diagnosed accordingly is how we eat, the nutrition, and how we think. We're idiots. The only way anybody stops smoking is if they show you a picture of your torn up, corroded liver. Then you go, uh-oh. Or a little picture of your kid, realizing that your kid will probably never see you past the age of 5 for them. You go, uh-oh. And then maybe you stop smoking or you cut down. Because we have to be like really shoved up against the wall with problems before we'll do anything about it. And it's the proactive ones that have the anxiety because then they're always worried about everything. You cannot win. You cannot win. I'll admit this is not a pleasant program. Anyway, we're bombarded by commercials and marketers that want us to do things that are good for them and bad for us. Good for them because they'll make a lot of money. Bad for us because they'll decay us down into nothing. So watch what you put in your mouth and watch what you put in your brain. Don't let them get you. Don't let them cloud you up. Either here or up here. All right, enough of that. I'd love to end the show here, but I can't because I'm committed to 30 minutes. So I'm stuck. You can go somewhere. I mean, you know, no one's holding you here. I'm stuck. It's a nice place. There's heating here. There's a little bar over there with many of the finest alcohols ever created by man, and I appreciate that. Over here, there's a bunch of women that... never mind. Okay. I'll tell you a funny story that you will not find funny either. Every once in a while, I'll go to a place in Providence, Rhode Island. Rhode Island, a very, very small state. Providence, a very small city. That's okay. They have a thing called the Providence Performing Arts Center. They call it PPAC, which I thought was a grocery item in the frozen food section. But it's not. It's a performing arts center, so to speak. A beautiful, beautiful venue. Well, coming up in the near future, apparently Bush will be performing there. And I thought, oh my God, that might be interesting to get the insights on a former president who got us into a war in Iraq that did not turn out well for anybody, just sat back and let his vice president Cheney just, you know, puppeteer him to stardom and destruction. But a nice guy, a really nice guy. So I thought, wow, hearing the perspectives of, I've never been to a performance thing where a former president stands on stage and talks about that. So I thought, wow, I'd love to see Bush. And then I went to their website at the PPACs, the Performing Arts Center, and they had a picture of some kind of band. Apparently the band's name is Bush. Now, I know, you probably knew that. I did not. I was vastly disappointed. Because I've heard of Bush, but I don't know. I thought it was George Bush. Which, you know, if you invert that problem, what if some kid you know, like a Generation P or X. I'm Generation P. I'm the one that gets up in the middle of the night. Generation X, Generation Z. I don't know. We're running out of alphabet here. They get their tickets for the concert, and they go to the PPAC, and they're sitting there, and, whoa, Bush, I love Bush. Come on. Yeah, woo, 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 Bush, Bush. And then and then the lights go down, and the former President George Bush walks on the stage and says, well, hi. Boy, that would really disappoint these kids. So it goes both ways. Pretty much what I'm saying here. I had what you call Bush confusion, which you may think is something else, but it's that, what I just spoke about. I'm one of the few people on the planet, ooh, I wish that was the end of the sentence, but it's not. I'm one of the few people on the planet that does not care for Bruce Springsteen. What? You don't care for the boss? I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't care for Bruce Springsteen. I've been spelling his name wrong all the time. I thought it was S-T-E-I-N. I thought he was, you know, Jewish or something. But he's not. It's Bruce. It's S-T-E-E-N. So, okay, now I'm really not understanding this guy. He looks like a well-built gnome. And I know his songs because they're like played all the time, but I can't tell the difference between them. I know he moves around with the guitar, like shakes in one place a little bit, and he sweats profusely, but he's not like Mick Jagger. He's not performing anything. He's just standing there and singing. I can't understand a word he's saying. I can't.
Has a life and it's ready to say. I got a babe in the shoes and my feet are low and I don't know how to play.
And that's it. And I don't know what he just said. So I don't care for him. And he's from New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey too. But we have nothing in common, so I don't understand that. So I'm not a Springsteen. Someone said, Ron, tickets to Bruce Springsteen. I'd say, well, what the hell? What the hell? Wouldn't do it. Bob Dylan, I never understood. I know some of you don't even know who that is, but Bob Dylan was way back in the 1820s. I it's a running joke because no one can understand what he said. And then, hey, no, oh. And then they like think he's like this poet genius. How can you be a poet genius when I can't tell what you're talking about? I don't even know if your words are rhyming, if it's a rhyming poet. I have no idea. I can't understand what you're saying. Then there was Joe Cocker, who looked like he had some type of extreme medical condition of which I did not know the name. He just flailed all over the place. I couldn't understand what he was saying either. Willie Nelson, I mean, he's a legend, and he's certainly still performing. At his age, he's incredible. Even though he smokes marijuana, I guess that works for him. Can't understand much of what he's saying. The thing. I don't know what I just said. That's the problem with music. We kind of, it's interesting. I was watching that Taylor Swift concert, the Eras tour or something. As I said on the show a couple of weeks ago, I mean, Taylor, you have to understand that an era is longer than 2 years. Just because you put out another album doesn't mean that the era has changed. That's something else. So she did her Eras tour, which means that she sang every single song she's ever written pretty much. Because the movie is like 3 hours long. It's like an opera. She's very talented. She moves around a lot. Great staging. Great presentation. Not a bad movie. But at the same time, to me, every single song sounded exactly the same. Not a popular opinion, I understand that. But I thought, after a while watching the movie there, the Eras tour thing, I thought that she was actually just singing the same song over and over again, just a little bit different. could still be the case. And she used some curse words within the lyrics. I heard those. Mm-mm. Taylor, do we have to go there? Well, Ron, that's the way people speak. Now, shut up. You know where I do find country? Let's start again. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Do you know where I do find comfort? In a library. There's a town nearby called Easton, Massachusetts. E-A-S-T-O-N. Are you familiar with it? It's a sleepy little town. Very nice people. Very nice people in the town. I wish I could live there. They have a library, which is awesome, because it's in an old building, and just walking in the library is just comfort. It's like walking back into history, and it's just comfortable. And when you walk in, the, I guess you call them librarians, I don't know what you call people who work there, the librarians. Although librarian might be a specialty, maybe this is just receptionist in a building, I don't know. But I walk in, and they say hello, they're so kind, and it's a nice place to be. And one of the reasons I find it so comforting to be in a library is there aren't that many libraries left, really. But also, it's the fact that the people in there seem to be quite civilized. They're civilized. There are people that have a thirst for knowledge and go to a place where knowledge surrounds them, even though it's obsolete. And it's lovely. They're usually well-dressed, could be students, could be seniors, could be middle-aged people. It's a little bit of everything. And they're all polite. They respect culture. And they respect civics and knowledge and learning. It's a great place to be, just to be surrounded by these people. Sometimes I'll go there and I'll sit at a table with a book, but I won't read the book. I'll just sit there and relax because I'm amongst people that are just good. They're civilized. They're not going to hurt me. They're not going to challenge me. They're not going to talk. They're not going to click their chewing gum. They're not going to eat noodle soup in front of me. They're civilized people. I like that, at least for a change. Best part? You can't talk. Oh my God, there's a place I can go where you can't talk? Yes. Or you could go to a monastery. That's fun too. But then you have to drive there and there's not that many of those. At the library, you can't talk. You can't go, hey Bob, what'd you have for dinner? Hey, shh, shh, read the sign. Be quiet. Okay. Sorry. I love that. And it's not like there's police or anything. You don't need police because the actual people in the library who are there as consumers, they'll tell you to shut up. They have no problem with that. I went fishing. Shh, could you please be quiet? It's a library. Oh, it's a library. I love that. It's just peaceful and quiet. Because people are reading. You can't read when there's noise around you, when other people are talking. It's annoying. People sit there and read. Or they could take the books out and read at home, but you don't have the atmosphere and the flavor of reading at home. I mean, maybe you do if you have a quiet room, but library, whoa, that's the place to be. And they don't throw you out either. You can sit there for hours, and you can read any book you want on any subject you want. The only difficult part of it is finding the books. There was a guy named Dewey who came up with the Dewey Decimal System. And I don't know why. Why didn't you just come up with an alphabetical list? I don't know. But every book now has a decimal. I really don't know what I'm talking about because it's been a long time. Used to be that a library was the only place to go to get any type of knowledge or reference. It was like a golden palace of greatness. And then they came out with the delivery of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Kids, you don't know what I'm talking about. The World Book. You would subscribe to this and they'd mail you a volume. There were 24 volumes or something like that. And they were alphabetic. So you get everything that had anything to do with the letter A was in the first, and then B was your second shipment, C the third shipment. Are you getting the pattern here? So as a kid, I knew nothing beyond C. Hey, Ron, what do you think of the giraffe? I don't know yet. I've only got up to C. I can tell you about cats if you want to know that, but I haven't progressed to the other letters yet. And then came the internet. Oh, my God. The lazy man's lobster. Oh, God. You can just sit in a chair and stare at a screen and learn. I guess at least you're learning something, assuming that the content that you're seeing on the screen is accurate. But it doesn't matter anymore because there are no accurate facts. There are no factoids. There's just people's opinions of what's true. And that's shameful, too. But, you know, I can't say everything great about the library because it's full of history books that don't really reflect the history as it was. In some libraries across the country, some of the books have been removed. I don't know. Some of them are wrong or inaccurate or based on tradition or stories heard as opposed to actual factoids. So yeah, the library wasn't perfect and isn't perfect now, but it is good for one thing, and I don't care, and that's being quiet. Love it. I love that. Thank you, library. I love your policies. It's nice. Good stuff. And that's a nice library, too. Have you been to this library in Eastern Massachusetts? If you don't live in Massachusetts, I would book a flight to Boston specifically to go to this Easton Library. It's very nice. They call it the Easton Free Library. Guess why? You got it. All right. I'm running out of time. I've got like 2 minutes, so like, why get involved in anything else? I could cut the show short, but then they're just going to run ads actually for the library. To be honest with you, it's probably what you'll be seeing if I'm not here. I really don't know. I don't know what you see. I don't even know when I'm on anymore. I have no idea. Anyway, bottom line to today's show is to wake up. Even if you can't get enough sleep, still wake up. Smell the roses, which is nice. Smell the coffee, whatever that means. But smell reality. And start making decisions that are of some type of benefit to you as opposed to just being told what to do. And have civic responsibility and learn about what is really going on. And save our democracy if you could, please. That would be nice. All right, kids. I'm out of here, basically. If you have any questions for me, you can just, I don't know what you're going to do with them because I'm not going to answer them. I do this show every weekday on syndicated radio stations and also on that internet thing that we're talking about, newenglandbroadcasting.com, ronvandam.com. Every single weekday, a brand new show. We have over 2,600 episodes that you can actually listen to right away. It's incredible. That's a library, baby. So, yeah, so that's where you'll find me, or you can contact me at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. But I will not respond, probably. And that's the story. Have yourselves a wonderful time. I'll be back again next week with another show. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.